now that my mom is just telling that they're going to do so that was the issue here in the Western States. Then we following the committee for quite some time in the
that there's a reporting from the press about the reporting about that particular center. Throughout the department has been receiving, you know, this reports of how things are not going well. And we know for a fact that a number of people have been arrested there, corrupt officials. A number of them have been arrested, together with security people who are there, they've been arrested for corruption and all of that. We then agree that we are going to call this meeting. The meeting was supposed to take place yesterday, at a very short notice, in fact, that they will have this meeting for the department to come back and say, you have done this unannounced visit, because normally the unannounced visit, you don't tell anybody that you're going there. We do not even communicate with the DG we are going to do this oversight there and what's gone. But for them to come back to the committee and tell the committee that this is what they have done with the issues as we have seen them ourselves at that particular office and all of that. So today, and then the meeting yesterday, they could not attend because of coordination of the particular system that operates within the department of how people should come to Parliament and all of that, which the DG at some point will elaborate further as to what how they deal with coordination, which is actually a coordination issue. But of events, then they will then take us through that. Then the committee then resolved that because they did not come yesterday, we would then invite them today. It's an invitation because I understand that some people of the press are now reporting that we summon people to appear. Not yet at the level of summoning. When we start to use the constitutional powers that we have not even arrived at that because of the nature of the relationship that we have. We then invited them again, re-invitation to say, the committee will have this meeting today, an hour and a half, for you just to come and assure the committee as to how you have sort of intervened and deal with the issues. On that note, that's why I'm saying that we have this blessing today that the DG is here, and he'll be able to take us into the broader issues of how they're dealing with those challenges that are confronting the Department of Home Affairs. I think that members I've managed to capture, but if there's anything that I've left, members can sort of add into the issues. But that's how I believe, and the copies of the report have been made available for the meeting and then for everybody. So that's how I think we have looked at the issues. So on that note, DG, I think we'll leave it there. Maybe we'll hear from the presentations from the provincial manager yourself, how it's been structured, just inform the committee as to how you have resolved, how you have responded, in fact, on this call and all of that. On that note, I will be here, so that we can give you an opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, honourable members of Parliament. Good morning, DG. I haven't seen you. We just met in the corridor. Colleagues, good morning. Mr. Chairman, yes, it's true that we have noticed a sudden increase of asylum seekers over the past few days. And we also read in the papers, you know, about the sudden increase of asylum seekers. And when we analyzed the situation, we thought it could have been because of a notice which was in the newspapers, which urged all those asylum seekers who have not yet come forward to renew their permits. This notice in my possession, which reads, the Department of Home Affairs requests asylum seekers who lodged applications for asylum in terms of the Refugee Act, dating back from April 1998 to July 2005, whose applications are still pending and who are not in possession of valid asylum seekers permits, to report to their nearest Home Affairs Refugee Backup Project Office, mentioned below, between 1st September 2007 to 31st October 2007. Should a concerned asylum seeker not come forward during this period, their application will be deemed as abandoned and subsequently be dealt with in terms of the Immigration Act. And I think this notice was misinterpreted. Hence, people suddenly flocked to our refugee office to have their permit validated. Then we decided then to alleviate the pressure from the Custom House office by temporarily opening an extension, an office at the Barrack Street, where we would be serving mainly women, children, the sick, etc. I consulted with my colleagues at head office in the Refugee Directorate and with the acting DDG NIB on whether this plan of mine, they agree with it. They fully supported it, and by the time the chairperson, Mr. Chauke, invited me to come and explain, we were going to start rolling out or implementing the plan. We therefore had to put together logistics. Fortunately, we had a big office, a training room, and then we decided that the refugee reception officer would therefore take in between 30 and 40 asylum seekers per session, give them the questionnaire, assist them with the completion of the questionnaire, and if they need any interpreters, we were also going to organize interpreters among the asylum seekers. At the point where we were ready to implement this plan, we were fortunate to work together with the group that Mr. Chauke introduced to us. And I must say, they were really a godsend, because they were assisting us in the queue management. So we were working very closely together. And the plan was going to be like this, that we organize the queues as we always do in the morning, but then transport people from the harbor to Barrack Street and assist them there. And we also informed the NGOs that we're working with that we are not going to assist anybody who comes to the office individually, because we did not want people to form long queues at Barrack Street. Hence, we said we are going to transport them from the harbor in groups of 20, 30. We started with that plan on Thursday, installing the computers, and Friday we implemented it, tested it. But naturally, with any new plan, especially that involves technology, it does have some teething problems. The capturing machine, which captures the image, was not functioning well, but the IT guy managed to fix it. So we started on Friday, let's say effectively on Monday. And we managed to serve about 47 people on Monday. And now we are also busy installing a second capturing machine our IT guy was busy looking for a spare part to put into this capturing machine. So hopefully by today, if he managed to get that spare part yesterday, then he will install it, and then by tomorrow we will take in more people to be serviced at the Barrack Street. And as I say, with the assistance of this NGO, they assist us with organizing the queues and also with keeping peace and order. But naturally, in any situation, Mr. Chairperson, where there are queues, once you open the door to take 5-10 people in, those at the back will start pushing. And then that will have a ripple effect, because now everybody will start pushing, and then the order, the lines get disorganized, and that will seem as if there's chaos. But yes, I do understand why people push, because everybody wants to be served, because some of them start queuing as early as 3 a.m. So, but the plan that we implemented in Barrack Street, we are going to announce it once we are 100%, satisfied that it is working smoothly, and once we have installed the second capturing machine. I would also like to invite the members present here to go and have a look and see how we are assisting people. And I think we, by moving some of the people to Barrack Street, it is taking a lot of pressure off the customs house. So, Mr. Chairman, I think by Monday we can start announcing this new plan to the public. But I must insist, we have to emphasize that only those that we pick up at customs house will be served, because once the word goes around that people get served quicker at Barrack Street, then they will flock to Barrack Street. And the other reason why we cannot implement this plan very at customs house, because we don't have an open office that we can use as a classroom and put 40-50 people in. We only have those small offices, and it becomes very difficult to put in many people. So the Barrack Street situation works much better. But it does not mean that we are not going to assist newcomers at customs house. This is just a temporary measure.
Thank you very much. We will catch up with you if you look at the report dial range, the number of issues that we found. I think Mom Lamani has the office a manager responsible for that office. You have to choose the fact that you may not use the issue of cleaning and all of that. Maybe you may be able to respond in your input to the issue. And we agree, members, that let's take the second input from the office itself, how you're operating and all of those issues. Then from there, questions can then come together based on that issue. Is it the right proposal? It can then come to you among the money on the operations of the office, the day-to-day running of that office, based on the points that we have raised on our friend.
Morning, members of the parliament. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I would like to say that right now we are left with the three refugee officers for ground floor, since we will be taking the next one to Barrack Street. And we have started today with the assistance of the regional manager, Cape Town, since that we have people that are starting to queue at 3 o'clock, we started opening at 5 to take 100 people to be inside the hall, which the those three refugee officers are helping right now as we are talking. And we are taking them as soon as we finish. And in terms of the 5 that are being used for those clients, then the registry staff is preparing 5 each and every day, so that there are 5 that are ready, that are going to be transported to the barracks as well as to serve the clients that we'll be having at the office. Because it means that we will be having this number of clients that are coming in. As Mrs. Mukate has just said now, that we'll be having this influx of people because of the losses. Then in terms of cleaning the office, one, the cleaner that we have has been promoted to craft Rene, and then we have one cleaner that is assisting, that we have been borrowed by the provincial office. And then I started on Sunday to get a casual worker to start working during the weekend, because during the weekend there's not a lot of people coming in, so that the kitchen access to the other cleaner who works during the week. In terms of the extensions that we deal with the clients, because our clients are already being frustrated, we are taking a batch of 40 at a time, and we extend as they are standing, not to let them, all of them, to come and sit in the hall. We let them to sit, to stand in the reception, and then they will be extended and they go. This takes something like 20 minutes. But because we had to request the IT manager to install a computer that would be able for the person who would be dealing with the extending of those permits to be able to deal with those. So we're having a bit of a problem. So perhaps by next week, things will be running smoothly. But we have started with that process whereby clients, they don't wait in the waiting room for the extensions of the permit. In terms of the... Then we have the IDs. We have started putting back again the indicators with the assistance of the security. I have an official that I have appointed who will come in at 6:30 when the security officers come in, so that he can put the post so as to direct to the client where to stand, so that they know if they are coming for whichever function, then they can be able to go there.
I'm told that the
one proposal. So I think it's for the first time we see what the issues that are in the finance committee. Okay, but nevertheless, I will definitely ask you specifically maybe to zoom into some of the issues. You deal with the day-to-day operations of the office. Part of maybe what we want to hear the committee will be what systems we have in place then. How do you deal with coordination, monitoring of work, the kind of supervision that you have in place then? I think it's quite very important, because what we saw in our engagement was clear that there was lack of management, lack of plan with regards to how you manage the office. I know that they're dislocated. There's one floor on the ground floor, the second floor is upstairs on the fifth floor there. So that may be effective. But just share with the committee how you deal with the issues of management with this capacity that we have of 3 people from the 7. Now you have moved others now to another office. And what are the impacts of that? Because if we were to deal with the item, many members would raise these questions as they watch for the asking questions. Maybe they will go and confine themselves into the item that you have noted them here. But just share with the committee the operation, first of all, this is how you do, this is a line of what you call the of coordination that you have put in place to coordinate as a manager in that office. How you are managing that office, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
Then I'll then open for members then to see our notes from Hitman, Van de Kostana, Hosman Terrace, Chani, A, what you call the Low. And then income as well. All members want to allocate to that fund. But yeah, just let's
see. We have appointed Mr. Bedford. We have appointed Mr. Bedford to look after the ground floor, to supervise the ground floor. And Mr. Bam to look after the security officers as well as the cleaners. And then Mr. George to look after the refugee status determination officer.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, thanks for the briefing. I want to maybe take a step back, Chair, and maybe direct my question to the DG. I think maybe the report that we got at the visit of the committee, similarly to the Marabastat thing, I think we had the indication at the head office from the briefing there that it's asking, well, of course, you create a model to deal with reception centers, maybe not use Resentable but Marabastat as the model. My question is, listening to the report and the evaluation of the portfolio committee, we've been now 5-6 months into the task team, the re-engineering process of the department. In terms of milestones, and that's really my question, listening to the report this morning, in terms of milestones, DG, are we on the road, for instance, are we on a situation where we can use Marabastat to implement that in the Western Cape, or are we still very much in the design phase? Of course, my question is, if we're still in the design phase, the report will then reflect this that we heard this morning. If we're in the implementation phase of re-engineering systems, staff and so forth, then we might at least have reached certain milestones in the provinces. So my question is, are we still in the design phase? When are we going to be at the implementation phase? Thank you.
You can note that. I mean,
thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I'd like to thank the DG department to come and give us this briefing. But I wanted to raise some few issues, Chairperson, if you allow me. I know it's about time. Number one, you see, it's very, correct maybe to have some people who are ready to accept in terms of humanity. But I wanted to register this concern. From our own experience, when we visited the places, the harbor, it was alleged that outside there were groups from national chiefs from different countries who were in control, sitting there, forcing that only certain countries to get help. So my question, what do you have any plan to assist on that one, so that all countries to get same assistance? Not only one country, to be understood. And then number two, you see, Chairperson, also the issue of which was raised by Umam Kashi, the issue of capturing the gene. You know, my concern is one, I don't know. I wanted to find out two things, because they must guide us in order for us to make some recommendations. Whether do they have enough machines as well as staff, as you indicated. Because that is the key fundamental issues which can relieve some of these problems. And then the last one, Chief, which is very serious. From the findings of the portfolio of the committee, I wanted to find out whether there is any arrangement to control the legal, the illegal utilization of the office equipment, in particular the telephone. Because from our legal experience, some of the telephone bills are very, very high. But with this one, I don't know how much does it charge us, so that we can maybe have an amicable solution to deal about these issues. I'll end up there. I'll come next.
Thank you, Chairperson. You will pardon me, Chairperson, because I think the best way to can describe the behavior of the management is to say they are useless. They are reactive, they are not proactive. All these things that they are telling us, they are reacting after the protest by the religious, asylum seekers. So what were they doing all along? There was a horrible situation in that center. Toilets were not reached. Documents were just scattered on the floor. There was nothing going on which was supposed to be done in the correct way. So to me, this management, they are not doing anything to help them. They are just reacting after the protest. One would ask himself as to how often did the regional director visit the center before this protest? Definitely she didn't. And what is the lady here, Madame Zaman, doing at the center? Nothing whatsoever. I don't think she was checking as to what is going on at the center. She wasn't. But one would wonder whether was he going to the toilet herself. If the toilet for the refugees is like that, it means the only toilet which is supposed to be clean is there. These people are supposed to be treated like human beings. Human beings is not only the management. So I really have a very, 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 very serious problem with this management at the standard center. So to me, the DG must do something about that management. Very quick. Must make sure that these people have been taught what to do because they don't know the duties of a manager. They're not doing anything. They're just reacting to the process. If these people didn't protest, it means they were not going to implement these plans that are coming up with.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also thank the department for coming over and present this report. But I think it is a real great concern because of if I would share the sentiment raised by my colleagues here. You see, if somebody comes and presents a report and say, last week we started this. This week and next week, all along, what was happening? I think that the refugee center has been there for years. And what is it that has been done during this other time? But if I can pose a question, maybe that might be asked by answered by the DG. The question of training. Do really these people in such delicate areas, of which we are not only dealing with people who are from our locals here, we are also dealing with international. Are they getting relevant training on matters of refugees and asylum seekers? At what level? Then the other thing, if I may ask, I think the chairperson has raised issues of security, security, security. Nothing was said about issues of security as we are getting report yet. Can we get the relationship or the contract signed between the department or that center with the security company? they really have to behave the way they are behaving in and around that area. If one also may ask on the issue of cleaning, the manager says to us, I have employed somebody, I don't know on part-time base or what, to go and clean weekends and assist the cleaner who is there. In actual fact, does she see that area to be cleaned only on weekends, or it is an area that needs to be kept clean at all times? Thank you, Chair. I don't want to get into issues of planning and so on and so on, but I think I really share the sentiment raised to say the DG needs to look into that area as a matter of major. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I follow who my colleague has wrote the issue. I very unfortunately, this department come with a briefing for this morning. They firstly, they didn't do in the apology. What they make a mistake. Even the newspaper appear for the twice in the news. So I think this one is from this briefing, they still thinking they got a lot of chance. After next week, we will be doing something. After next 2 weeks, we will be very smoothly. But like my colleague said, this refugee center is over the 4 years, not a new one. If you say it's just a new one for the 1 year, we still give you a lot of chance, can improve it. True to this question, I just want to know is from the DG side, how you can take this discipline for this mistake. We have the official in this refugee center, but unfortunately our committee go oversight, no anyone inside. What happened with this? Under the control of this department. And you are briefing, you have the big office. But the big office or your poor delivery and your poor capacity. Also, you know the implementation. Then you say too many people for the after 1 week, after next 2 weeks, your department will be doing something. I don't know. But I like to take this suggestion to the my chairperson. This committee is next time for the oversight visitor. We don't necessarily for the announce. We still utilize our announcement visitor to the anyway. Otherwise, this one, we can't find any issue. Any problem is from the our department. So thank you for the chair.
No,
here we come to NGOs operating on the ground floor. Am I correct in saying that the manager was very appreciative of their assistance? But there again, they're not supposed to...
I thought my voice was loud enough. I gather they're not supposed to be there. So I think I would like an explanation of that. Personally, I'm always very grateful when NGOs step in, but obviously there are conditions imposed and they are not implemented. Now, I'm also a little bit concerned. You have a police office on the third floor, but you're not allowed to use it. Is there an explanation for it? Seems a bit strange that when two government agencies actually share a building, that the one cannot use the obvious thing, and that is the police on the premises, that they have to call 10111. Generally speaking, I'm very sorry I didn't go myself, but when I see a report like this not having been there, I say, where was management when all this happened over a long period of time? Thank you.
Good morning to all of you, and particularly to the Director General. It's very good to see you here and to meet you. Could I, at the outset, Chair, while sort of aligning my concerns with what's been said before. You have my sympathy, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't attend the foreshore with the group that went, but I've been on two occasions myself down there. I've been to Pretoria, I've been to Durban. I'm very much aware of the situation. Chair, the point I'm trying to make is I totally agree with the need for human rights and dignity for human beings, but I think it's very difficult when a department doesn't have the wherewithal, doesn't have the means to do it. Staffing, capacity, all those things. And with respect, it also starts at the top. And so I want to, like Mr. Bukeman, just take a step back, Mr. Director General, if I could just ask you or address you on this basis. The problem of refugees is not going to get better. Well, it's not going to get better before it gets much worse. Simply because South Africa is an opportunity for so many people on the continent of Africa, where they might have absolutely no hope in other countries. And I'm not just talking about Zimbabwe, Chair, that is a major problem. But I think across the whole continent, South Africa at least offers the opportunity to survive. People come here because they can simply survive. Even with our 40% unemployment, with all our crime, they can actually survive. And that's why more and more and more people are going to come here. So that's why you have my sympathy, because you're actually dealing with an impossible situation. Chair, I'd like to propose that we actually look at what is causing the problem and try to find ways of dealing with that. And I believe that goes to talking to government policy about how we secure our borders better, how we set up transit camps or refugee centres or call them what you like, but closer to the border. Because, Chair, the fact of the matter is that hundreds if not thousands of people are literally walking 1,500 kilometres from our border down to Cape Town. They're arriving in Durban. They're even in Pretoria, in Marabastad, which is, 350 kilometres from the border. That is the problem in itself. How are we having refugee centres at Cape Town? It doesn't make sense when our borders are 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 kilometres away. So what I'm proposing, Chair, is I think we look together with the department of how we better secure our borders. Maybe we'll never totally secure them, but actually manage our borders so that people coming in firstly have a place to go to where they can be treated with dignity, their human rights will be addressed, we can provide shelter, service, all those things close to where they're coming across the border. That, to me, Chair, is the answer. We're never going to win a situation down here at the foreshore in Pretoria or Durban where people are just coming in droves. We don't even know if they're legal or illegal, whether they're economic asylum seekers, political asylum seekers. No wonder people are doing what they do. And I'm not excusing what's going on there. It is unacceptable. But I can't put myself in that situation, Chair. We're not going to win that one. We have to step back, secure the borders, have home affairs offices or transit centres or refugee camps close to Bank Bridge, close to every other border crossing, where people can go there, can be assessed, can be given shelter, food, whatever. And then we can stand proudly and say we respect people's human rights. So I really wanted just to engage the Director General on that, Chair, and perhaps today or a later time, I certainly from the DA's point of view would like to bring some suggestions here. Let's look at how we can try and change policy. And then just one last very quick question about the DGs here, please, Chair. When I have visited these centres, DG, I've always announced who I am. I have ID with me. I find it very difficult in many instances to engage members of your staff. I'm made to feel unwelcome. I'm not. There's all sorts of reasons why I can't be there or what can't be done. I'm not always very intimidating. I try and put a smile on my face. I'm there to try and help people find a solution. Why is that, sir? Why can I not arrive at Umgani Road in Durban or go to Pinetown or Pretoria? Say I'm Mark Lowe, I'm a Member of Parliament. Can you show me around what's going on? I'm made to feel unwelcome. They don't want to answer questions. Surely we want to try and find solutions to that together. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry for question only one issue which I wanted to raise, which is very sensitive and serious. Number one, Chairperson, I want you to comment about the issue of us inviting the department to come and account to us. I think we mustn't be apologetic about it because there are emergency things, like the call which we've made. I think it was correct to call them anytime. They must be ready if we call them at any time because of emergency. And we wanted to assist so that we can move in the same path. Then to come to the, that was my comment. No, it's just a question, last one. Chairperson, all of us, we are here. all of us who are here, no matter we belong to each country, our priority is the image of the country. Therefore, I wanted you to find out whether the department is aware that South Africa is part of the members who committed itself in international human rights.
But yeah, as we respond, let's respond a question that we have. Over to you. Hello, is there anything with your anyone? Part of the privilege we have this morning is that the DG will be able to give us a bigger picture as a gentleman, another member of the race, and take into account that we still have another meeting that will take place where we'll be informed about all the speeches that the DG brings to the department. So at some point we'll have to have that. But let's confine ourselves a little bit much around the suburbs. With some of the things we'll give them in the next meeting that is coming. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I will respond on the following. On the one that there are certain groups that are forcing their way in and we're serving people from certain countries, it's not true that we are serving people from certain countries. We serve everybody. We take them from the queue. Take people from the queue. So if it so happens that people from a particular country, you know, are queuing together, you know, there's nothing that we can do about that. We don't ask them, where are you from? We just count 1 to 3 up to 20 and take them and assist them. So that's when Honorable Member of Parliament, we are not selective in our dealing with people. And the other question of which was raised on the NGOs assisting. We as the Department of Home Affairs, we've always worked with stakeholders, NGOs. Even when we have Imbizos, we have the CDWs that assist us to control the crowd, to manage the crowd. And we all know that it's government policy that we should work together with the community, you know, with the public, with stakeholders. So if we have the opportunity of people willing to assist, we will definitely grab it with both hands. So this NGO, we also keep an eye on them, so that they don't do things that are illegal, or for instance, taking people out of the queue. We have our security guards who are also monitoring them, just to ensure that there's no foul play with these NGOs. So we have an eye on them as well. Mr. Chairperson. So they cannot just come and, you know, take over from us. We control them. We give them instructions. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think my colleagues here will answer the others.
Mm-hmm.
a number of questions for the
We did write some materials from last year to get an extra seminar. And right now, this is a temporary measure because we can't wait for the submission to be approved. So that's why I asked that I have appointed some schedule to assist. There is a submission for the replacement of the person who has retired, who has been promoted to other office. We have written a submission whereby we requested another person to assist the person, because in our establishment we used to have one cleaner. So we have written that submission to have another cleaner. And I have thought that the person, because there's a lot of complaints, I just have to go downstairs and be there all the time.
Can I just assist Mr. Zamana on the question of the cleaner? Mr. Chairman, that building belongs to DPW, and they are supposed to provide a cleaner. But their cleaner, we are not happy with the cleaner, because she comes in very late in the afternoon. She has to do some other floors. So what we did, we appointed our own cleaner. We do have a cleaner there. And we also seconded one cleaner from the regional office to that office. And some weekends we take the whole, all the cleaners from the Cape Town office just to go and clean the office for the Monday. So what they do, they scrub the office, they use a scrubbing brush and to scrub the office and to thoroughly clean, to assist the two cleaners who are there. So chairperson, but with the numbers that we are receiving on a daily basis, you know, it's difficult really to keep that office spotlessly clean. We are trying, but we are receiving, you know, there's about 500 people, you know, coming in and out of the office. We have dustbins over the place, and, you know, within no time they are overflowing with the tins of Cokes and chips, papers, etc., etc. And also with our toilets, Mr. Chairperson, I know one of our cleaners there is very passionate. He cleans up the toilets almost, you know, daily. But with the numbers that, you know, use those toilets, we have even put some other toilets outside for the people who sleep outside to use. So we are trying very hard, but there is room for improvement. There is definitely room for improvement.
The chairperson, I'm with Fidelity Security Services. I've got 8 security guards that are employed at the Department of Home Affairs Refugee. 2 of the security officers are on the 5th floor. The main duty of the security contingent that's there is to control the crowds, and it's in actual fact access control of the refugees and people that enter the offices or the building on itself. There's 2 of the security officers placed at the main entrance of the building. Then the other 2 is at the entrance of the refugee office. And then 1 security officer we've now taken and placed him at Barrack Street to assist with the handling of the refugees there. And then we've got 1 security officer that in actual fact maintains control inside the building, removing the security officers from the hall itself out to exit the building. Now, what actually happened on the particular day, the 17th of October, is that the security officers that were on duty at the entrance of the offices he actually saw that one of the asylum seekers were being hit and he was assaulted. But because they've got no jurisdiction on the outside, they left it at that. And then Mr. Hanukomuchi, the NGO, I believe, he then approached the main entrance security officer and asked him to please remove the person, and that the person apparently stolen his cell phone, and that the rest of the people were assaulting him. Security officer Zulu then went and removed the asylum seeker, of which we do not have a name, took him inside the premises, the offices by the wall, and the only place that they really have got is inside the toilet, where they can lock somebody up for the police and to come to assist in the matter. So if I can correctly say, it was not that the asylum seeker was locked in a cage, but it was the only place that they actually had to place the person and for the police to arrive to then assist in the matter. And it was also for its own protection. So there are no other place in the offices where they could have locked it or kept it. Pardon? I think she's there. This week. I did not get it. I will not be able to. I have never used it before.
General people will see me, you know, all this, but I know that I'm still trying to do it. But you can be able to share with the community. The money is
I'll start off the members of the committee. Start off by saying there is absolutely no need to have filthy offices or the kinds of things that are being described as having been found at that place. And the people who are immediately to blame for that are those who are charged with managing these places. So I do agree with whoever says people are reactive, they are not carrying out their primary functions of running a place efficiently. I'm not, by saying that, removing myself from responsibility, considering that I have accountability for what happens at Home Affairs. But there's absolutely no doubt that some of the things that are being described today happen only because people are not managing properly. So I don't think we can beat about the bush regarding that matter. But I would like to take us back a little bit and say members of this committee are fully aware, more aware than many others, about the state of affairs that has prevailed in the Department of Home Affairs over time. There have been reports by the Auditor General, there have been findings by yourselves when you did inspections, and there is all sorts of evidence that points to the fact that the department has not been functioning properly. It still isn't functioning properly, as evidence what we found. You see it in the queues, in different offices. You see it, our own people are not refugees, who are as entitled, by the way, to human rights treatment as those who come from outside. And they are in some manner quite lucky because they have the advantage of a lobby of NGOs who highlight their problems. Our own people are in no, not much better position if we do not serve them properly. But I would summarize the problems that we've all known about as Home Affairs has been plagued with corruption, with incompetence, with poor capacity. It's all in the support intervention team report that was submitted to this committee. Issues of capacity, as I said, attitude, which explains, I think some people say the problem is not anything but attitude. Poor training of systems, of IT, of processes that are not in place. All of these things. That is what prompted, I think, the minister in the first instance, to ask for support from her colleagues in the form of the Department of Provincial Service and Administration, but also of the Public Service Commission unit that did the intervention, that was part of the intervention team. So the reaction to this has, of course, been to mount an effort to remove these things. The misfortune, of course, of us all is that you cannot do it in 1 week. You can't do it in 2 months. You won't do it in a year. I don't think you will do it satisfactorily in 3 years. It will take time. So let's factor in time as a very important element in these things. The program is wide. Home Affairs deals with civic issues, namely the issuance of enabling documents. That is an area where there is a prevalence of corruption, marriage certificates that are false, birth certificates that are false, all because people want to come and get the opportunity that's available in this country. So the question is, how do we deal with these things? It is a little unfortunate that we were not able to present the last time round, because our strategy for turning the department around, and I appeal for an opportunity to do this the next time round, addresses these issues in terms of scope of problem, of time, prioritization, and all those things which are material to resolving the problem. If you walked to a place called Roslyn today, you would find that there were files on the floor, unsorted out, that accounts for some of the long, long waits for residence permits or permanent residences and so on. Unfortunately, I couldn't mobilize people tomorrow and say, go and sort that out, because you need to scan these things, you need to convert them into electronic documents, you need to do that in a particular way, and you need to do that, and it takes time. It takes the mobilization of right resources. It takes a little bit of money. That project by itself would require 2 million rand to deal with Rosely. So a surprise attack there. I'm surprised we'll disclose this thing and we'll be in the papers for this. I think we would be in the papers for these bad things for the next 5 years, perhaps even more, because that's how long it takes to address some of the issues. No excuse at all for the field that's being described here, or the lackadaisical attitude of staff. And we deal with that, by the way, as you all know, by imposing serious disciplinary measures. We have reported to the media openly. We would report to yourselves. We will, once we get the chance, what actions we take to deal with issues of discipline. Unfortunately, it's easier to deal with criminal issues, with a lack of discipline, than it is to deal with issues of capacity. Capacity requires training that's been talked about. It requires, first of all, the identification of the right kind of people and the placement of training programs. So I really don't want to give you something that looks like an excuse. If I had come here ready to do a presentation of our turnaround as we wanted to do the last time round, I think we would start to engage at a level that is necessary, that's higher than an unclean office or refugees locked up in toilets. And that shouldn't happen, by the way. But I do think that we need to raise these issues to policy level, what creates these situations, especially with respect to refugees. I welcome and appreciate the point raised by Mr. Lowe in this regard. So, but in a very, very tight nutshell, on the refugee program, this is a subset, by the way, of the National Immigration Branch activity. And refugees, always high profile, because of the humanity of our people, because of the human rights issues. What the program when we've embarked on, just to address the specific one, what are the problems with it? The problem is congestion, because of poor IT systems, because of poor processes, because of linkages, the people that you are wondering why they're in Cape Town. Well, they're in Cape Town because when they fail to get processed in Johannesburg, or when they have been processed there and they don't get joy, they will go to Durban or come here, and we do not yet have systems that can say, but why are you here? Because you were in Johannesburg. And there is no reason for those things not to happen, but it is going to take time. It does require that you go to National Treasury, that you reprioritize whatever the department had thought were priorities at the time, and do that to address these issues. So the turnaround effort, and bear with us, please. We would like to be held accountable on issues that you know of, because you've been informed about. We commit to say we will have done Marabastad by such and such a time. The solution to Marabastad is making sure that you close down Rosettenville and go to Crown Mine, where there is more space. Place belongs to government, and immediately I'll be happy to tell you that output has increased by a factor of 4. It has, and we'll show that in the record. So Marabastad, there will be an easing up of the congestion there, because you can process people over there. We're dealing with refugees. I would say to you that we have employed more than 80 RSDOs, refugee status determination officers, as I talk to you. What's the effect of that? Is to increase the capacity to process people and decide whether they are asylum seekers or not. And a large percentage of the people who are giving us all these problems are not genuine asylum seekers. But it requires embarking on those processes. Have we started, Mr. Bjorkman? Yes, we have. How have we started? By dealing with the setting up of Crown Mines to ease congestion elsewhere. What's our next thing on the program? It is Cape Town, it is Durban, it's other places. We should not allow it to be poorly managed. That's not the issue. But perhaps you still will have those files, maybe sitting uncomfortably if you went there next week, because you've got to do something about them, because before they can be phased out and so on. So there are over 550 offices of Home Affairs, over points of entry, service points, regional offices, etc., etc. With a tremendous challenge to outfit these offices with people we need to train properly, with people who've got the right attitude. But it takes something, given the labor regime in our country, and it's good that the employee is protected. I tell you, a lot of the people, if you went with your hands, would be out of the place before you realized what was happening. But you must follow due process. And due process takes time. And that's why we'll continue to have some of this problem. Chair, I wish we could have the opportunity, as you have indicated it will happen, to give you a progress report of what's been happening at least since I've been in the department in the past 5 months. That was the intention when we prepared ourselves to appear before yourselves on the 9th of October. So it doesn't assist very much. The current discussion pinpoints issues around the refugee office in Cape Town. It's an important place. Maybe we should have started there. But you've got to make a decision about where you start, and that's based on a whole set of things. So I would like to appeal for an opportunity the next time round, and we will give you this. And I count on you to support us, because it's a tough one. Even ask the media to appreciate that we are all on the same side insofar as we cannot condone corruption. There are great risks to us in doing these things, because you would see this. Syndicates who are bent on continuing the things that trouble you so much. But we will do that because we cannot allow our country to be run by people of that nature. But we are committed to it. We make mistakes, and there will be many. I would like to take the issue up of how you deal with people coming into the country. The issues of legislation around that. That might need to be revisited. I quite frankly don't think that if you paraded refugee centers on the border, you would be able to capture the people. I honestly, in all sincerity, don't think so. Number one, by the way, we aren't responsible as Home Affairs for people who cross the borders illegally. That would be SAMHSA. So you don't even know that. But if you did set up a center there, I don't know. If they thought there was, given the freedom within with which people move around in our country, which I think is a good thing, by the way, hard fought for, but we need to manage within that framework, which is difficult. So, but you would still get them coming to Cape Town, because you're not going to ask them for a dump pass on the way here. Human rights people will be up in arms against that. They will come here, and I don't think a policeman can accost them and say, you look like a refugee or what if you don't come here. But we need to improve our systems, as I say. We need, and we will get to a point where at least the congestion will be, the long queues will be decreased, because systems, even without good people, can achieve some of these things. Just systems that say, we have seen you, what are you looking for here? Get out. Maybe you need to then come up with legislation where people are caught and deported and come back again. If that happens currently, they are treated as fresh entrants. There is no crime in coming back into this country after having been deported. There is no severe sanction. People have got 80 days when they cross the border. Sorry, not 80 days. I think it's 180 days. Within which to go to a refugee center. If they don't feel like it, and some of them don't, they will play the system until the 179th day. And once they present a piece of paper, you've got to then give them all the space that they need. There are issues of legislation around that, etc., etc. As soon as people come across here, it's a humane thing to do. They are entitled, once we give them that Section 22 paper, to go to any place to get received, to receive grants, to receive that, to go to school, send kids to school, etc. Wonderful thing. We must have supporting systems that would enable our policies to function. So it's a program that Home Affairs is a program, a challenge that is national. But Chair, I want to give you specifics when we come back here on what we are doing on civics, on hygiene, on certificates, on all of these things. And I think there may be an appreciation that it's a little better than it was a few months ago. Thank you.
All right, now, we may follow up. Oh, we still have the question, but let me give Babushka a question to the law, and then let's think about that. We still have about a few minutes to go. So. Sorry, I'll die in my meeting, please. No, Chief. Please. This is still my meeting. You'll have your own small meeting once I'm done. The interviews will be done outside the Washington. Let me give you the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Chair. My concern is that
the
regard to the issue of SAP, which is in the same building as the I do not understand when Home Affairs is having problems that they cannot ask the SAPS for assistance. Instead, they are told that they should phone 10111 instead of, you know, them attending the problem. I just wanted to find out from maybe Mema Mkashe or the DG if they could respond as to how can they assist in ensuring that there is good working relationships in the departments in the building. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think it goes back to the issue of a security company and the department. Well, the gentleman from the security company says he got all these things and then the placement of the people in there. But I just want to find out from the Department of Home Affairs, particularly the manager there, how often do they sit down and look into challenges that faces those refugees there brought by the security company? Because I would think that this incident, it is not the first incident, and then it might not even be the last incident working with those people in and around there. And then specifically on this one that we raised, did they ever sit down and discuss that matter, and then what was the end result of it? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You'll pardon me maybe if my question was answered in a meeting with the management and the finance because I was not there. But what I would like to know is, on whose instruction was that person locked in the toilet? And for what purpose? Was he going to remain there until they find the telephone? Or was he going to be handed over to a police officer? Or what was going to be done with him? Because if the portfolio committee didn't find that person in that case, maybe he was still going to be there for the coming months or years. So you are sentencing, sir. So can someone verify us as to for what purpose and on whose instruction was he locked in the toilet?
I'll be very brief, Chair. Thank you. Mr. Mung, thank you very much. I've read about, heard about, been told about how candid you are, how frank and forthright. I've experienced it for myself. Great things are expected of you, sir, but I think you know that you'll have a lot of support, certainly from me and my party. I'd like to think from everybody here. We have to do this job. We have to get it done. Could I just very briefly, Chair, agree with you that the fact that we talked about refugees today, but there's no doubt our citizens must be our number one priority, and they're just as entitled to human rights, to be treated with dignity, etc. And if I tell you that my office has become like a help desk for Home Affairs, you'll know what I mean. Like my... The point I want to make, Chair, is that we need to ensure that the systems work to make sure people get ID books and passports. That isn't happening. What I wanted to wrap up by saying, Chair, is could I just ensure that in very soon we actually have the DG back here to talk about the systems we need, what we need to do, so we can get that legislation in place. Thank you, Chair.
I do not want us to go very general and to end up doing the party position. It makes a problem. So I propose the portfolio committee, therefore the address should be from the portfolio committee point of view. If we were to allow the party position, we'll have very strong problems. I'm just saying that we'll have a very strong problem because everybody will stand up and say the NCD is, therefore there's no longer a portfolio committee. And I'm not one. I know that I'm chairing a committee that is its members are members from different political parties, but when we are here, let's maintain that there are a portfolio committee from members, honorable members of parliament.
No.
Inga, I want to... Do you still want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to comment. My question hadn't been answered, and my colleague very nicely rephrased the question, so we'll both get our answers.
Yeah. Can you respond to the last question directed to yourself, Munitasha, and the... I think the DG has sort of covered the most of the issues. Before you leave DG, I just want to announce the Melanesian issue will move forward with the rest of the government.
Okay. Questions. I won't be able to answer about security, but the performance of this company. One of the things that we are reviewing are contracts and service level agreements, which either exist or do not. So we started with the biggest 10. Visita, Usasa, and others. If some of the people don't perform, it's because we're unable to force them to do so, because they never signed an agreement. We should not pay them if they do not perform to requirements. But that's part of the problem. I don't know what's going on here and how long the campus spent, etc. But the issue that's being addressed now is the signing of service level agreements with anybody who has a relationship with the department. Thus, as we cut down on those people who are not doing things that we require, that are right, we ask SAPS to act in conjunction, in collaboration with us. We've had instances, since there are media here, and I really highlight always the negative. I will not cite instances, but suffice to say that when people are arrested, I don't take them back. They are suspended until such time as their cases are sorted out. It's a bit expensive, check, because we're paying people who are sitting, but you cannot send a message to people that you can be arrested by SAPS, come back to the office the following morning to sit and move forward with it. Nothing has ever happened. We are sometimes told that some of the organizations, the labor laws or what have you, oblige people to be kept until you prove them in some manner. Like we'll pay them, that's the most we'll do, but we'll not keep them among us if we've got reason enough to suspect that they have to be arrested and get discharged on pay. So the collaboration between SARS and Home Affairs requires that, and we are getting it at certain levels. We are getting it that we move together to crack down on some of these things. I don't know about this local one. It's a local important matter, but generally we have agreed with SARS that we work together and perform similar actions and treat our people, SAPS or Home Affairs, if they work together in a similar manner, so that one group doesn't say, but we did the same thing, but some of the people are working at this. Thank you.
Can we respond on the question of
Abbas
Kiyama's
what did you do with this issue of the person who was put in the cage?
Did you sit down and look at that thing? What informed you in the instruction for the person to be done there? It's now that you're saying that it's not that they do it in the situation. Is that the right thing that you're saying? I don't hear you saying that it's wrong with your belief. I hear you saying justify that. Because we don't have another place, therefore we keep people in the toilet for that question. The toilet that is not even working. The toilets are not even working, the condition of the short toilet. I think that's the main of the issues. The rest of the issues of the DG, we're still going to engage with the DG around that, and I'm very confident. I, Monica, we just remember, and we peace process, we'll deal with that at a particular level. But when we break the law, if you change the country law, the international law, that you are breaking from the treatment of a foreign person. That's why I asked you, the following question that I've asked you about why we have to put a shuttle in that condition, in the pilot, in that condition. That's right. The rest of the thing you do is the government got over you there. But just address this one. And you see, you say you have 7 or 6 security guards who are there. And I said, what's going on? They handle the same 8 security guards. We saw one, that's why I'm saying that I'm not sure if that's it. We can go now to the harbor and call that person in 50 and mother daughter. How he was telling us to shut up and could not even see himself understand what he was saying. So I'm saying that either the person was not well, I'm not convinced that was wrong, so they're not feeling drink, or I don't call the doctor coming to me. But the fact is that the person was not normal. So something wrong with that person called the English guy. The one especially who was leaving us, the story was telling us the story about why this person was putting the thing. And I think that to be very honest with you is that we do have a problem with the security. And that in fact if you follow the arrest that has taken place in the house, most of the security will be arrested in the house. The fact is very much involved in the activities. It's not only about security, it's about the running. The syndicate used security people in fact. To be the ones in fact who are helping the security. The committee may really appear very polite to that. To me and the members of the committee, that's a very serious thing. If that person DG tomorrow decides to sue the company and the Department of Home Affairs for what they have done, I'm not sure that would be a good thing. That would be very honest. Very, very good. If that person would go get a lawyer and take action against the company, so I think the issue of management and one, I think you have brought that to attention. The list of issues that members have raised here has to do your around in the day-to-day operations. I think it's issues to have to look at the so that they are addressed. You're not coming to Parliament and have the junior level. It's a problem, it's a blessing. It's something that we need to do. But why do you say this? Why the foreigners are not going to come and end up coming foreigners? Because we believe there is a problem that the commission will restrict our system. We are not going to do this. We are providing things that we need.
And we cannot sit back as Home Affairs Portfolio Committee and say, because we know that things are happening, the DG's involved with those funds. We have to keep on, you know, bringing these things to the fore. If we don't do that, we'll be failing on our duties again as members of parliament. We'll be really failing on our constitutional obligation to do oversight and to solve accountability and monitoring of how the budget that we pass to the committee is being spent. So, but we'll come to the conclusion. Do you still have any response that they would have to respond to? Yes, yes.
Yeah. Do they have a long-term contract with that security company? And also, it's a permanent clause in that contract. And I'd love to know whether do you sometimes review that contract or
why can't you leave it to the division?
Okay.
Because that deal is doing the review of all of this in contract that regarding the division. Maybe in the next meeting. That would make sense to this new deal with people through
into all these other details that we may not want to deal with. It's clear to me again that we may not want to proceed further on questions further than here. I think we'll have to agree that we'll close this meeting. But close the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
You must tell us all who to strike to address the terms of business.
Okay. All right.
And for what reason?
Yes. I do not know whose instruction it was, but the NGO Mr. Hanukum was outside the building, asked Fidelity Security to assist the person and to take him away from the crowd.
Okay.
and also the setting that he stole a cell phone, although the cell phone was not found on him. So on whose instruction they locked the person up, I cannot say to you. I do not have access to find that out.
But you were aware that he was locked?
I was only aware that he was locked up after I got to the officers of the refugee. No, unfortunately, that was the only time that I know that they've locked somebody inside that cage. Because I specifically asked them, why do you lock people up in the toilet? So they said to me, that's the only place that they've got. But we have discussed it with Nigel Scott from Department of Home Affairs to get us a suitable place, and we're working on it. Sir.
No, let's
sort of come to the conclusion of this meeting. As I said, Edith, I thank you very much, DG, for making yourself available. I still want to see this one. Okay, that's fine. That's right. Sir, as you are aware, the media have a report on the minister's reluctance to appear before the committee here. There was a meeting this morning which involved the chairperson in which that factually incorrect statement will be corrected. It is absolutely not the case. The minister asked me to make this clear to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered if that is actually incorrect, Mr. DG, why on two occasions when the minister indicated she would appear for the committee, she
felt it? I've made a mistake in fact to have allowed the DG to speak to regenerate into more of
questions
and what was. Can I just propose that we leave this matter?
But nevertheless, can we agree that we have identified this problem to them? And we know for a fact that the department is in the process of addressing some of these challenges. But as a committee, we expect that this matter must be attended as a matter of urgency. That would not allow a situation that people have to be treated by the men and ministers. Will not allow a situation where people do outside the Home Affairs office being asylum seekers in the name of service delivery. I think what the committee has done is within its powers and its rights to have intervened, and therefore I think the response that we're getting, the positive response that we are getting from the Department of Home Affairs, especially the Humanitarian Initiative, open up that the mini center. We appreciate that. But we still need to see more. And the more that we'll see, we'll be monitoring the department throughout. That's our work. Our work is to do that. And we'll be getting reports in my office currently with the Office of the Director General. We are working on the next date of the meeting, where even the Minister of Home Affairs at some point should attend the portfolio committee meeting and address us on the issues that we have allocated to that. But on the issues of management, I think people who are employed to manage, they must manage. And then there is nowhere that they will allow things to collapse in the name of the problems that have been there in the department. The problems are caused by the very same thing that people are not managing. People are employed to manage. People are employed to supervise. People are employed to provide service to the public. And if people are not doing that, this is what led to the collapse of the department and the problems that the DG now has come and resolved. For quite too long, I think, that this committee has been observing and engaging around the issues which are caused purely by lack of management. And the concerns that members are raising here are very honest concerns. There is nowhere that the person will get a salary every month for managing, and the person is not managing. That's fraud.
if people are failing to manage, therefore it's the responsibility again of the department to put in place, as members were raising, the kind of training that we give to the people. Well, what is it that we are doing to capacitate our people if we see weaknesses? What is it that we are doing to make sure that they are better managers? What programs are we putting in place to make sure that these people tomorrow will not repeat that? And that's the general watch call that we'll find. Throughout home affairs, the problems we find is lack of management, lack of supervision, lack of security vigilance. The point that members are raising here, there is no way that we can allow a situation where documents are just flying all over. And official documents on that note, with photos of people, fingerprints of people, are just lying there, total no control when it comes to issues of security in that office. No security measures. The very same security you're talking about, they've got nothing to do there. They're not doing anything, because these things are happening in front of them. They're drawn into the whole thing themselves. You can see that confusion cut across the board. So therefore, I want to really emphasize this point, that the points that we have raised here would expect at some point to get a report as to how you're doing it. We'll be monitoring that, and we'll be making sure that we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable. But we appreciate your coming, and we have responded the way you have responded. On the issue of the Fed, I want to put the position of the committee. That must come to an end. That must, as we speak now, must come to an end. There is no way that we're going to allow anybody to be locked in that condition. We're not going to allow it. In fact, we condemn it to the strongest term that a person can be locked in that condition for 3 hours without being charged or being taken to the police. We'll not accept it. And I'm saying that DG, this is a matter that needs an urgent attention. If you don't have that, the point that Memeke raises about the relationship with the police and all of that, why do people have to call 10 to 1? The coordinations of departments in that particular area. I think you need to emphasize the relationship at your level with the provincial commissioner, because we are at par together. And we are not able to say, colleague, help me, here is the challenge, how do we deal with the problems of this meeting? Police went there to the harbor. Part of what they were going to do, they were going to arrest everybody there. The image of the country that stays here, what we are protecting here, is our country. The freedom that all of us fought for so hard is what we are protecting. And there is no way that will allow a situation where this country is turning into a banana republic because of managers who are not able to manage when they're supposed to manage. On that note, we really thank you very much that you have responded to the call, and we are looking forward to engaging with you further, and we hope and strongly believe that we'll be able at some point to correct the situation as we see. And on that note, we really wish you well, and keep on doing the wonderful work that you have started to do now. Make sure that you sustain what you started. On that note, we thank you very much, and I want to thank members of the committee for understanding to have this meeting today and your contribution together. On that note, I thank you very much, and the meeting is closed.